Good morning and welcome to me. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
This letter also gives us a glimpse into the elements of an awakening experience. Below we have Screwtape's description counterpointed by those of the great sages. Awakening isn't just a temporary disidentification from ego, but the dissolution of ego. Screwtape, there was a sudden clearing of his eyes, was there not, as he saw you for the first time and recognized the part you had in him and knew that you had it no longer. Wei Wu Wei, when the artificial eye is left behind, the real eye that remains perceives directly instead of through the refracting and muddy waters of the false eye. There is only the experience of this, no voices to make comparative judgments, no trace of there is something wrong. Screwtape, one moment it seemed to be all our world, the scream of bombs, the fall of houses, the stink and taste of high explosives on the lips and in the lungs, the feet burning with weariness, the heart cold with horrors, the brain reeling, the legs aching. Next moment, all this was gone. I know what the creature was saying to itself. You die and die, and then you are beyond death. How could I have ever doubted it? Sensan, for the unified mind in accord with the way, all self-centered striving ceases. Doubts and irresolutions vanish, and life in true faith is possible. There is seeing the perfection of the unfolding. Screwtape, I know what the creature was saying to itself. Yes, of course, it always was like this. All horrors have followed the same course, getting worse and worse and forcing you into a kind of bottleneck till at the very moment when you thought you must be crushed, behold, you were out of the narrows and all was suddenly well. D.T. Suzuki. Satori is a sort of mental catastrophe taking place all at once after much piling up of matters intellectual and demonstrative. The piling has reached a limit of stability and the whole edifice has come tumbling into the ground when, behold, a new heaven is open to full survey. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Gail in Arizona.
Gail?
Hi, Gail. Yeah, Gail. What the line that clicks for me in this one is the perfection of the unfolding. And what I saw was that, I had a long-term perspective of this, like the unfold, following the breadcrumbs, the unfolding over years and months of practice. But what hit this week was actually it's the unfolding of the day.
Uh-huh.
And
the moment.
The moment, letting the day or the moment reveal itself to me.
Yeah.
And I'm all tearing up here. And the gifts it has for me, just right here in the immediate moment. And since I've been practicing with that the last few days, it's all of a sudden these new recipes have suddenly appeared, and I've made them, and they were delicious. I got invited to a kirtan event and got to sing kirtan, which I've wanted to do for 30 years and never even knew it was available in town. I got a new app on a prayer app on my iPad this morning and had a wonderful morning. I mean, it's just, I had no idea that this stuff was even out there. And it revealed itself to me, and I was able to be there to receive it.
Yes. That's so exciting.
Yes.
When you what you were describing of if we are in charge, if we're allowed to be in charge, which is what we think we want, right? Mm-hmm. Then we get the same thing because right?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're open to and that's what we think we want. And then when we let go in the way that you describe and we open up to, then the gifts, the surprises, all the things that life has for us that we have been saying no to without knowing we were saying no.
Exactly.
Right? Suddenly they here they come.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
It's so much better than what we want.
Well, right? And as you were saying that, what I realized was that the stuff that we already know is from the past.
Yes.
You know, and then we just recreate the past, but that doesn't have anything to do with life in the present and what you're capable of now or what's important now or who you are now.
Or who you can be.
Or can be, yeah, the possibilities. The possibilities, that's the word that I was groping for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
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 And it's so remarkable to see it, because there we are going along convinced that we know what we want and that if we have that, we'll be happy, right? And most of us, most of the people we know are getting most of what we want most of the time, even though there is probably a voice complaining and whining in the background, right? And then to have that moment of clarity that, oh, my God, that's nothing but limitation. What I wanted was so small compared to what's possible.
Yes. And, yes.
I love it.
Something you said about the limitation. Man, this word stuff, trying to put this stuff
it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's tricky.
It's like what we want is irrelevant. Like we have what we have, and we have what we want most of the time. And even when we don't have what we want, we're all involved in the wanting of it. And all of that has nothing to do with the happiness that we're actually seeking, which is just, being here with the mentor, laughing in a, bumping into each other and laughing in a tiny boat or tickling each other in the kitchen. Or it's that relationship. It's that connection. That's the only thing we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, and we miss it, as you've been describing, because we're focused on how it should be, how
what
it's always been, what we want, how it is, and keeping that in place, maintaining that. That's where the focus of our energy is.
Yeah.
And so there's no room for new recipes in that world.
Well, and it's kind of like the whole thing with Christmas. Like, what is the real meaning of Christmas? And we're all running around, getting gifts and wrapping them and exchanging and partying and thinking we're having a good time, and that's not it.
Yeah. I had that profound thought yesterday. It was very profound for me, in fact. Gail, I'll tell you what it was. I thought, I really dislike Christmas. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I really dislike Christmas. And I was at peace with that.
Mm-hmm. I like the Christmas spirit.
Well, that's the whole point. that's the deal, isn't it?
That's the point. Yeah.
And that's what so often gets lost in the pressure to the stress of how do I get that for that person? What do they really want? And oh my God, everything costs so much. And how am I gonna? And I'm exhausted. And everybody's sick. And this is not fun.
No. Yeah. But the friendliness, the laughing, the bumping into each other, and I've
the
already
joy.
Noticed. Yeah, people are already nicer.
Nicer.
They're nicer and just walking around in town. They're just like they're happy. And there's no discernible difference except it's like, a few days after Thanksgiving.
And the lights are coming on.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's what I like about Christmas is that it really, for a little while, it really does shift in our culture. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's enjoy that.
So thank you for a wonderful year again, Ashwini and you. It just is such a gift to all of us. And Sangha is such a gift to each other. And just thank you. It's been wonderful.
And thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it has been. We've loved it. And let's just continue. We'll take this little break. And then, the first weekend in January, we'll all get together and it'll be as if as if we were never apart.
And it'll, what will be revealed will be revealed.
Exactly so.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Go
all
happy.
Right. Go happy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. My gosh, I love it, Carrie, that shift into life reveals itself to us is such a clarity of love.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're doing is letting go so that we can receive that.
Mm. Yeah, just open up our hands, open up our heart, open up our minds, and let it flow in. Yeah, and out.
And out in the Christmas spirit. Yeah, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hey, it's Mark in Chicago.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, you know, I think I got on the first call this year in this series, and I talked about how I had read the Screwtape letters probably 40 years ago. And when I found out this was going to be the theme of this year's thing, I kind of let out a non-spiritual groan because I never really thought much of the book and thought it was kind of hackneyed and stereotyped and repetitive. And what I really learned, especially when I read this assignment for this week, where you kind of step through the bulleted points, was that there's something new in everything when you look at it carefully and fresh, and you don't bring a lot of old baggage into it. And I'm really glad that we did it again, because it taught me that, I mean, if I can look at a book that I never really liked and find such value and utility in the lessons that it teaches me, that's really reinforcement for looking at every moment with a fresh eye and seeing what that can teach me.
Yeah. It sort of touches on the previous conversation that if we bring that baggage along, right, whatever that orientation is, is the me within quotes, then we are not here from the perspective of the fresh and the new. And so engaging with Screwtape through this process has revealed, there you go, the word again, revealed the orientation that stops one from being in the process of revelation and allowing for that to be available to me. And so it's just so beautiful, right, Mark? I mean, the way you said it was so illustrative of the process that we're looking at. I read the book, didn't think much of it, encountered it again, didn't want to engage with it because I knew what it was about. That's the orientation. And then there's the willingness of the practitioner willing to engage with it, which allows for us to be in the process of letting go what we have to let go in order to be here, to be receptive to the revelation, which could simply be that process. There's an orientation that prevents me from being receptive. Great. That's what life revealed to me in this engagement.
Yeah. Great. Thanks very much, Ashwini.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hang on, Mark. I can't mute you, so here we go. And, Jerry, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Karen from North Carolina. Hello.
Hey, Karen, I can hear you. Oh, Sherry, can you hear Karen?
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were on that loop again.
I know. Thank you so much. I've just, for the last 2 weeks, I've been away from the year-long retreat in kind of a deep hole. And noticing, and then just sat and recorded and popped out of it. And, there's such gratitude in the tools we have to bring us back to love, to bring us back to practice.
It's quite miraculous, isn't it?
Yes.
And that process of, I'm guessing when you say you've been away, it's because you were in a deep hole, right? You didn't have to physically go anywhere, right? And there we are. We just get caught up. We get so identified. We're just stuck and don't even particularly know that we're stuck. Just I'm going to project unhappy and suffering. And
yes.
then it just the timing is so exquisite that there's the moment of presence to receive the whatever that is, the intuition to take a step, to look in a new direction, whatever it is that results in pick up the recorder or sit down and meditate or whatever it is. And we've already popped out, right? Just in that little shift of attention to awareness.
Yes. Yes. And that was the part that I didn't catch on to, feeling the movement that I was swimming in the opposite direction. that was hidden from me for a while, and hearing it reflected, I thought, well, next time I'm sure it'll happen again. I'll look closer. I'll pay more attention. But
yes, well, but that's the tricky part, isn't it, Karen? That's how we get stuck and suffer, because when we're in it, when you said swimming in the wrong direction, you know, paddling against the current, you know, we're working so hard. And the effort is towards suffering, you know, because we're so involved and engaged in what we believe to be true that isn't true, but we believe it is. We're just really caught in it and trying to work out whatever it is. So that's the damnable part. And the reason that I think it's so important for us to have something every day that recalls us to presence, because if we don't, you know, that's why we came up with where we meditate together virtually, so that there's always a person can have something every day with the potential to break that grip that suffering has on us. So that there is, we up our chances of having that little moment where the attention and the awareness come together and we're there for it, and we pop out, as you describe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's a worthy opponent, no doubt.
No doubt. And the gift that I receive from that experience is just boundless.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you don't go to self-hate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly so. Yeah, well, that's the most, and yeah, I just have so much inside of me that I learned from, and I'm so glad to be here this week and say how much gratitude I have for practice and everyone and myself and the world and life and everything.
Yes, yes, all of it. When we're here, it is really the dark room to the light room, isn't it?
Yes.
When we're in that hole, we're in the dark room. There's nothing to be happy or grateful for. It's just all miserable, and it's all my fault. And then we pop out of it, and everything is exactly the same, except it's wonderful and beautiful, and we're filled with gratitude. So
just real briefly, you know, in that dark room, there are conditioned moments of quote unquote feeling okay, but that's just conditioning's okay. You know, it's a ruse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You don't really need. You don't really need to get out of this. You're okay. It's not that bad, Karen. It's not that bad.
Here,
it's
just
really
do what I want
bad.
You to do, and you'll feel better.
Yeah. And then we realize, it is that bad.
All right.
Here we are in the light. So thank you.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Go happy. Happy New Year.
All right.
Thanks, Karen. And Karen, I can't mute you, so if you would mute yourself, we'll call back in.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller. Ooh, let's try someone else here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Sequoia calling from California.
Hey, Sequoia.
Hey. Well, I'm having that little bit of moment of racing heart and actually just what the heart is here in the queue this morning, just that, willingness to get in the queue out of respect and gratitude for what life has offered through this year of the year-long retreat. I mean, it's extraordinary.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Sakura, to where it took me too, which is when I'm in that place of I want something, this is not what I want, and I'm in that place of dissatisfaction and that orientation, it is a place of total disrespect to what is being offered. It's a disrespectful relationship to life. We can see screw tape and the enemy, right? This is not what I want. And that place that we've been touching on all during the show is the receptivity, which is the humility to say, I'm open to receiving the gift. So much is being offered to me. And so my part is to get in the queue or to be present to the moment. It's a line from what we used to do in the prostrations, the willingness to be present at every new moment of creation.
Exactly, because there was that, oh my gosh, you know, wanting to rehearse, what am I going to say this morning? And then it was like, wait a minute, how disrespectful. Again, it's turning to this I that, things are not exactly how, you know, I want them to be and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to wait to some future date when the I feels comfortable. You know, I don't think so.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. It's Sherry's pointing to going with the limitation rather than kneeling so that the unlimited can reveal itself to me.
Yes. Yes.
That's participation in life in some way. Yeah. Hmm. That is participation in life. Is being receptive to the revelation.
Yes, and oh my gosh. Yeah, life is just, and just appreciating how relentless it is in the revelation. And it's just been my experience lately. It's fall on my knees gratitude for the relentlessness of that, which it just won't say no. You know, it's not, each of us is just so precious. It's not, we're not going to get left behind no matter what. It will just, in life's relentlessness, it will just keep at it to lift us up, lift us up to that knowledge of what we actually are. So anyway, thank you.
Well, it is us. And it's an interesting word to use, relentless, because that would be a screw tape word. But you're right; its relentlessness is its always presentness, right?
Mm-hmm.
A very
mm-hmm.
gentle, non-aggressive.
Yes.
It's always here, always here,
yes.
always here, always here, always here, always here.
Yeah.
And then
yes.
you just go to I finally get it. Where are you, life?
Yes. Yes. So thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
And Gasho. Bye-bye.
Gasho.
That relentless, we are being relentlessly loved. We can give up any idea of escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Escape is futile.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing Sequoia said that I've been looking at, too, and I hope everybody will look at it, that element of disrespect, you know, when we let ego choose over life, and with the specific of being in the queue, and participating in the conversation, because that's of course what ego is trying to do, is keep people from putting themselves in the queue and speaking up, because they're afraid they're going to be humiliated, they're going to sound stupid, they're going to, you know, they won't have anything, whatever it is. And and the level of lack of trust in life that that demonstrates is something that it's really, I think, really important for us to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't fall for it.
Yeah. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. This is Ken in Morgan Hill, California.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was willing to put myself in the queue. Actually, I was on the call, and then all of a sudden I didn't hear anything, and it dropped me for some reason. I had to call back in. So I
think you didn't take
it
personally.
No,
you didn't take that personally because you knew it was relentlessly pursuing you. So
exactly.
You just had to do your part and call back in. Yeah, I love it.
Exactly. Well, I've had some time this week working from home, and it's been kind of an interesting. I've been noticing, the difference between and reflecting back too on the way things have been going, how much life really offers me, and just being grateful for that. And it's because according to, because the conditioned voice, nothing's good enough, nothing's right, nothing's working. And there's always more, this isn't good enough, that's not good enough. I mean, we all know all that, but it was just this morning I was just waiting for the call, and I just, it's just so peaceful here right now, and it's so nice. And I last night I had quail out in the yard, and I've been coaxing quail to come over to my side of the property and with a little seed. yesterday
little
I walked
trails
out.
Of little trails of seed for them, go over to the neighbors and put the seed and then bring it. Yeah, I like it.
Exactly. And yesterday I walked outside totally in my head, and there was like 15 quail out front, and I just, and like they were like, oh, and I was like, oh. And I wanted to just stop and enjoy the moment, and they just wanted to get away, just to flee the scene. And it was just just to stop and enjoy that moment, and it was just really awakening.
Yeah.
I don't know what that all means, but
yeah, and that's so it. That's what you're describing. I mean, we just go around engaged in a conversation in our head, which is 90% negative, 99% perhaps we could say negative. Complaining about this and that's not okay, and why didn't this and that's not working, and then to pop out of it like you're describing, and just to be in that place of awareness that, my God, there is so much that is good. And if we want to use a word like working, there's so much that's working all the time, every day.
Yeah.
And we're just trained to notice it and go to that meet, 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 meet. And then we wonder why we're unhappy.
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. I had a big moment. Sunday I had a recital, a dancing recital, and we had about noon we had a rehearsal. And I didn't feel prepared enough for the choreography, and I kind of crashed in the rehearsal, and then I was back in the change room with some other they're professional dancers. And they were so supportive. Hey, Ken, don't worry about it. We say that if it doesn't go well in the rehearsal, you'll just, nail it in the show, And, of course, I had about a 3-hour in between the rehearsal and the show. And then when the show happens, I don't know how. It wasn't me, but I pulled it off, And, and according to my voice in the head, I should just not show up. I should go home.
Call in sick. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I guess what I meant by that, what I was talking about with that is, we don't know what's going to happen, and to fulfill our commitments, and, it's ways I talk myself out of keeping some commitments is something I have to really watch,
Well,
I mean,
and to look, Ken, to see if you're talking yourself out or if you're listening to a voice in your head talk you out of it, right?
Well, no,
and,
I mean, yeah, and, I got to make that distinction, yes.
Yeah, so that we come back to just living in that place of, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure there are some really great recipes coming my way. and I'm going to be open to them. And those quail, you know, they are going to be able to follow those seeds. And I'm going to be here to see them. I'm pretty sure. I don't know, but
yeah. Well, yeah. Today when I opened the door, that I opened real quietly and stepped out real slowly, you know, just looking around to see if anybody was out there.
And the joy of that, right, Ken?
Exactly.
The joy of that, rather than listening to that what isn't going to work and what I'm dissatisfied about. What a difference that makes in our life.
Very different places.
Yeah.
Different places.
Well,
so
you
thank
enjoy,
you so
okay?
much for this. Yes, thank everybody for participating and providing so much insight to God, all the gifts that we have, you know. So don't listen to that voice in the head.
That's right. That's our commitment. All right.
Right,
thank you, Ken. Go happy.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Ken. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of this show, and we'll talk to more callers tomorrow.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.